Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
But Dublin will still be having between 9 and 11 on Christmas Eve morning. Ireland will be, hopefully, and far, far beyond, because we will have our Christmas Eve special from here in the Radio Centre with very, very strict social distancing rules in force. But we will be having, I think it's going to be a magnificent show, incredible lineup, and lots of fantastic callers and giveaways as well. That's between 9 and 11 on Christmas Eve morning here on Radio 1. Now, Paul McKeown. Paul, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe? How's it going?
How are you keeping?
Not too bad.
Okay, so, it happened last Friday. What happened?
Yeah, so basically, going out just kind of for a Christmas drink with my other half and a father.
Okay.
And booked the pub. You know the way now with the COVID, pubs are kind of half restaurant. Booked the pub, basically walked up, and there was a crowd kind of outside. So my other half and I were taking some photos outside. So I went in just to get the table and all ready. So walked up, and as your man seen me, he kind of, like, the way he was walking towards me, I got the impression off him that he didn't like the look of me. So he just said, the table for three booked. And he was like, oh, that's very strange. Hold on there. So he just walked off, came back, and he's like, sorry, we actually double booked that table. So you're going to have to leave. And the way he said it to me, rather, you know, sometimes if you double book, you'll say, can you wait at the bar? So I said to him, look, can you not get sorted there? Like, I can see the table there. Like, obviously, whoever you double booked for, they haven't arrived. So why can't we be put at the table? And he says, look, can you just leave now? And then he said next. So he started talking to the person after me in the line.
Okay.
So I was just kind of standing there, kind of like, you know, kind of in shock, like, Jesus Christ. So I walked out to my other half, and our dad, he said, he's at the double booking it, but I don't know, it seems very suspicious, but, you know, I didn't, like, my other half dad's over from Brazil, so I didn't want to be making a big scene. So we were standing at the corner at the pub being like, look, we get a taxi, because my sister's fella said that they were letting people up into a place where you didn't have to book up in Baggage Street. So standing on the corner, and literally a couple walked up, opened the door, but the manager couldn't see me, so I was standing listening. He says, look, is any chance, I'm probably chancing my arm here, but do you have a table for two? And he's like, yeah, we've a table there. So literally as they walked in, I walked in behind them, and they're bringing them to the table with the tree, the tree stool. So I said to the manager, like, what's going on here? And he says, management don't have to give a reason for your refusal. Now, can you leave? And he says, look, you had to tell me it was double booked, and your man's had to walk in. And your man had a posh accent. So I was putting two and two together, do you know? Like, what other reason would he be refusing me?
Now, when he didn't... So, Paul, basically he said, no, that table is double booked.
Double booked,
And that was a table for three persons.
Yeah.
Okay, and then someone rocked in, a couple rocked in, and your man said, yeah, come on up, here's a table for two. That was your that was your table for three.
Yeah.
That obviously wasn't double booked.
That's it. And he didn't know. See, I was standing literally at the corner thinking, like, will we get a taxi or will we walk around? And he didn't know I was there. So, like, this happened, like, 2 or 3 minutes after he refused me. So when they walked in, he didn't know I was standing there. So I walked in behind him.
Yeah. But you said earlier, Paul, that when you walked in initially, you got the sense that he didn't like the look of you.
Yeah, like he walked up, like, saying, like, can I help you, fairly in a rude way. And then when I said, like, the table booked for three, he was like, oh, that's strange, hold on there for a second. So he walked off, then came back, and that's when he said,
you've no comeback.
Yeah, you've no comeback. Do you know, like, this stuff always happens, like, in a sort of, like
has it happened before?
Yeah, like, it's happened a lot of times where it's indirect or it's more subtle, but there's been times, like, growing up in the inner city, like, a lot of my friends would be bouncers, like, from the inner city, or they'd be travellers as well. They work a lot for agencies, and they know they can't, they know if they start letting in the local people from the inner city, that they might get a bad name for them. So the owner of the pub will say to the agency, I don't want your man on the door anymore. So sometimes you're getting refused by people you grew up with.
And why do you think you're treated like that?
It's basically on class. Like, that's the whole thing that goes on. Like, if you go around
Is it your accent or...?
The accent, and then the way, like, the way someone say to be middle class would dress up for a night out. Mm. Like, I was dressed up, like, I had a jacket and all on, but I had a Fred Perry T-shirt and my accent as well. Like, they know they... It's the same thing that happens with travellers when they'll go up to a door. But that was the thing. Like, it happened that night, and I was like, look, this thing goes on all the time. So I was just like, I'm not going to just let it slide again.
And has it happened before in terms of, you think, in terms of jobs or...
Yeah, well, like, no one in my flats would put down, like, all the NSC, we don't put our addresses if you come from flat complexes. Like, that's
do you not know?
Number one. And then the other thing, like, when I finished college, when I got my degree, like, I learned Portuguese as well. Like, we don't, like, when you're applying for jobs, they're asking you for your junior cert, your leaving cert, what school you went to, and then to put an employee referral scheme. Now, what person from Sheriff Street or the traveller is gonna know someone on Facebook or gonna know someone in KPMG to get that internal reference? You can't. So you get cut off before even getting an interview. So that's the stuff that goes on. But even on a subtle level, like, I've gone into pubs with my dad or my friends before, and we literally walk in, not a drink on us, and you're told, on your best behaviour there, have one point and get out. Do you know, like, a middle class person rocking up to a pub, like, they won't be getting that said to them. And it's the same if we try book for christenings and all around the IFSC. Like, you put your address, that's it. Or if you ring up and then you ring up 10 minutes late and give a different address and talk in a different accent, they'd be telling you that you can book that venue. Do you know? So that's all the stuff that goes on.
But when you say your address, do you mean a particular street or a block of flats or...?
Block of flats, streets as well. Like, so if you're saying Sheriff Street, Pierce Street, Townsend Street, Oliver Bond Flats, you know, Cannamooney Gardens.
I'm thinking about Sheriff Street, then go over the south side of the river, and you've Pierce Street and Fenian Street and all. But they're all now home to Google.
They're home to Google,
Facebook,
but then
LinkedIn.
They're home to Google, but then the local community that lived there, we don't work in any of those jobs. And they go on about diversity and all, but they don't extend their diversity out to employing people in the area. And then the other thing is the gated communities around the IFSC, like, it's not even middle-class people living there. It's people that earn an absolute fortune. And a lot of them are empty now. They're either Airbnb or they're people that were earning probably $100,000 or more. Like, and they're living in gated communities. And you see yourself on Sheriff Street, there's a wall that separates us. So that's all the stuff that goes on. And when it happened there on Friday, a lot of people were saying to me, look, don't stay quiet about it. People are messaging me saying, this happens to me every day of the week, you know, in some shape or form. So, like, it goes on in every walk of life. Like, even joining gyms, they'll give you a corporate discount. But if you're unemployed and you're from the area, they won't give you any type of discount. Therefore, the most poorest Indian city have to pay the highest membership fee.
Okay, say that again. If you want to join a gym, they do give student discounts. We know that.
Yeah, there's a good few gyms, public gyms and private gyms, so they'll give discounts for students who are disproportionately middle class. They'll give discounts for corporate. So if you work for Google, PwC, Amazon, they'll give you a corporate discount. They'll cut the joining fee off as well. But if you're from the inner city and you want to join one of the gyms, they'll make you pay the joining fee and you won't get any discount, even though you're probably the poorest out of the whole group they give discounts to. And that's all to do. That's all to keep kind of segregation, to keep you out, because they don't want a certain crowd in. And you see it around the IFSC. You're starting to see it up around Dublin 8 as well, the gentrification. It's two worlds living next to each other.
Sorry, Paul. Hey, just give out that number again, 1857-15-815. But you're adamant it is because you were raised and born and speak, have an accent. Even though the Dublin working class accent, which you have, is no longer the prominent Dublin. When people say Dublin accent, they mean the Dublin working class accent. But the Dublin accent now is primarily the Dart accent, because that's what most of the young people speak.
That's the thing, Joe. It's all a thing about uttering. Like, we have the inner city accent. And we've grown up with that. And there's a thing, the degree of uttering, that if you have that accent, you know, you're not a culturally fit. You see even people that come from the country, even working class people who come up from the country, they're not falling over themselves to change their accent to speak with an inner city Dublin accent, but they're falling over themselves to start talking with a South County Dublin accent, because they know that if they've any chance of getting into a load of jobs, they need to change their accent. So that would show you, it's clear as day. Like,
yeah, it's interesting. Is there anyone reading out the news on any national or local station with a Dublin working class accent?
Well, that's it. You could count them with fairly few. Like,
yeah. Well, they say we don't pronounce our THs. That's the main problem. We're not good at pronunciation. But that's the accent. That is the accent.
Well, that's it. Like, but if you look at as well, Joe, like, who's in that prison demographic? The majority of people in prison are coming from a cluster of streets in the inner city and the traveller community as well. Who makes up all the good positions and jobs? It's not people coming from the inner city. It's not people from the travelling community. So there's proper segregation going on. And even if you do get the qualifications...
But it's a lot more complex than that now, Paul. It's not that the Gardaí are scooping up people from certain streets. Like, it's a very, very complex issue about opportunity, educational opportunities, opportunities in the home, educational opportunities in the home as well.
But I do take your point. But if you think of it, Joe, right, where's all the police allocated to? What type of crimes do they go after? Blue-collar crimes. Where's the reflection in the demographic of the white-collar crimes? Do you know?
But you'll find, Paul... that a lot of working class crimes are committed in working class areas.
But
people who are crying out for something to be done about it are from working. I don't know if you heard Tommy Claffey earlier on this year, this programme, the flower seller outside the cemetery there at the top of Ballyfermot in Palmer Sound.
I did hear it, but that's what I mean.
But he's more working class than you'd ever be. But he was saying that what happened to him was unfair. But that's what I mean, Joe.
Like, that's the thing, right? I completely agree with that, but it's the completely, like, where does the police go? Where does all the powers to arrest and send people to prison? When the judges are sending people to prison, who's getting dumped into prison for a few years? It's working class people. Who then, when you look at even the way the economy crashed down, or white collar crime, or fraud, where's the, do you know what I mean? So that's the thing. It's the emphasis and the focus on it, and who's being sent to prison, who's not being sent to prison. I agree about that. Like, if there's crime going on in the inner city, like, you've seen enough of it with the Kinahans, the Hutches. Like, we were crying out for more police and all the police, that issue. But then there's other forms of crime that aren't prosecuted or sent. Yeah. So that's the whole thing that goes on with that. But just to get back to my point, like, when that happened there on Friday, Joe...
Have you had, like, any previous incidents, Paul?
Yeah, like, just as I was saying, like, you know, you would go into a pub and you'd go in, like, and you'd be told, like, be on your best behaviour. Other times, they'd be like, where are you from? No, not tonight, lads. Or sometimes when you see bouncers that you know, they say, look, I don't know, to be like, I was told, don't let locals in. And you're not going to bark up because it's someone who you grew up with, who's working.
And in this day and age, this still happens, obviously, because you're talking about it.
Joe, you take a walk around, I know you're from Ballyfermot, but you take a walk around the inner city, around Sheriff Street, the IFSC, you'll see the segregation, and you'll see that there's certain bars where people drink in, and you'll see the signs outside, no tracksuits allowed. Like, what's that implying? Like, do you know? So...
And are there still places up with no tracksuits, yeah?
Still has signs. If you take a little walk around the IFSC.
Yeah.
But you look even at the universities as well. Like, there's universities there in Dublin 2 and Dublin 1, and the percentage of actually people from the university
I know Trinity have a Trinity Access Programme, TAP, and they've done their, but they're doing more than most, I think. About time, in fairness to them. But they seem, because they're located slap bang in the middle of working class Dublin.
I definitely agree with that.
And Paul, what about your own chances in life? How have you managed?
Well, I grew up, I didn't have a leaving cert, and then I went back, got a leaving cert, went to college, learned the language. And then
did you go to college to study Portuguese?
No, I learned it because you have a big Brazilian community in the inner city.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, brilliant.
So that was it. Like, I wasn't sent off to learn.
And what did you study in college? What did you study?
Social studies, humanities, social care. So done all that type of stuff. But when I finished my degree, I was trying to get into all the graduate programs. And I was probably one of the last to get into a job because it wasn't a human that was cutting me off. See, when you apply for all the graduate programs, they ask you your junior cert results, your leaving cert results, and employee referral scheme. So they all add up to your points, even if you have a 2.1. So every time I was inquiring about feedback, they were saying your points aren't adding up for your junior because, you know, I didn't have a leaving cert. I went through a FETAC route to get into college.
What happens a lot with
disadvantaged students, even though they might get into college, when they're trying to get into all these fairly prestigious graduate programs that are like a fast track for your career, you get cut off at the starting point to where if you've got a MACLA junior cert, MACLA leaving cert results, and disproportionately middle class, upper class people know, have an uncle or have a best friend or have a cousin that works in a lot of these companies, they get the shiny reference that you can only include if you know someone. So they add up three section of points outside your degree. So the odds really are stacked against you.
Paul, I take them on board. I think they're generally very valid. And the problem is, like, racism is a crime in Ireland. You know that. If somebody tried to stop someone coming into the restaurant or on the base of their colour, you could have them up in court. The guards would be knocking on their door.
But just on that point, like, I want to be fairly clear, like, this isn't a thing to, you know, because some people will say, oh, well, we have rights to protect people on gender or race. I don't want people thinking, oh, well, we don't have rights to protect people on class. We should have those rights.
The Green Party are proposing that.
Yeah, but then again, like, if you're discriminated on class, social class, and you have it clear as day, you can't take a complaint. And the other thing, the policy and the framework around equality exclude social class. Like, that's madness. Like,
listening to you, like, who interviewing you would deny you a job on the basis of your intelligence that you're demonstrating?
Yeah.
If you're qualified for the job.
You've probably seen yourself, like, it happens on race, it happens on gender, it happens on many different reasons, you know.
And race and gender rightly are talked about, but the issue that's not talked about is social class, isn't that it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Paul, stay there, because Saoirse wants to agree with you. Saoirse, you're listening to Paul McKeown. Go ahead, Saoirse.
Hi, Paul, and serious sympathies, Paul. I'm from Ballymun, Paul, and I've encountered what you've encountered in many different areas. And, in relation to, I'm a successful company owner. I became self-employed because the first job I went for in a shop in Ballymun within seconds, he was extremely rude to me. And so I told him to take his job and went and got another job because I'm from a family of 11 and needed to work. At the same time, I've never been discriminated against in the workplace because I wouldn't stand for it openly. So, I mean, I've done my 3-4 degrees. I'm well educated. My children are well educated. But, you know, I don't live in Ballymun anymore, but I know my sisters, who are stunning looking, if they pull up on dating sites, you know, men are interested. And when it gets to where you're from, Ballymun, they don't want to know them.
No.
My worst and first experience on a big level from D1. Mm. And not all people are, because I have friends in high places and low places. And, you know, the head of Facebook is from Tala, and she's a motivational speaker, and now she's all over the whole of Europe of Facebook, and she's a very strong North Dublin accent, and I've gone and listened to her motivational talks. I listened to TED Talks, and, you know, most of these people are from nothing, and sometimes you have to go through the pain to gain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in your instance, I most certainly would have stood at that door and I would apologize to those people, but they wouldn't be sitting in that seat before me. And that's the only thing you have to do. It's like you revolutionise this, because people from North Dublin are totally discriminated against. When people get angry right. with me, even in a professional manner, they will take the tea out of my accent. Like this, I'm like, won't.
What's the accent, Saoirse?
If you're in a, say, you're in a dispute with somebody, they will automatically, because they know it hurts my feelings and it's a trigger for my emotions. So people will always hurt you when they know what affects you. Like, I'm kind of a tough person. So, you know, it's, I see how people and my neighbours and, you know, the people I went to school with in Ballymun are the best friends I ever went to. I went to school in Chocter Lerk. I spoke the language fluently. Mm-hmm. We were in TV and RTE, the opportunities, the most intelligent people I've ever come across, the best teachers I've ever come across, raised brilliantly. My parents don't drink, don't smoke. They both work full time. They raised 12 children. Mm-hmm. But when people meet somebody and know where I'm from, they make an assumption of me all my life.
Okay.
And my first real experience was I went to work on a summer camp in America, mm-hmm. and it went wonderful. And I thought I was getting chatted up on the plane by a D1 guy. And I'm looking at
D1 is what, Dublin 1?
Yeah, Rat Mines or wherever he was from. I'm going back 33 years.
You mean
ago.
You mean a posh guy, my yeah?
Well spoken. Well, I don't know what you're definitely.
I know, I need it. Well, that's
a different accent.
Is it D4 what people say?
Or whatever.
So what happened? What happened with this guy in the plane?
He was very, he was like chatting me up the whole flight back. And then, oh, where are you from? You're not from Ballymun. Shouted it all over. You can't be. How can you have that education? How can you work in America on that? And I don't get embarrassed. I was just totally, oh my God, is he serious? And, you know, 33 years later, it still goes on. You know, and
but as just as Paul is saying, and you're saying as well, Saoirse, like you can, there's now laws about discrimination on the basis of race, colour, on the basis of gender, sexuality. But there's no law about the discrimination on the basis of social class.
No, that's
and
why seldom, has to be a revenue.
It's seldom talked about.
Well, that's it, Joe. Sorry, there. That's the thing, Joe. It's not even about being able to make a complaint, like. The policies and the frameworks, like say the public service or the civil service or Facebook or whoever, you know, if they're committing or like we want more people from different backgrounds, well, you'll often see it's done on the nine grounds of the equality legislation. Like you won't see a campaign, we want more guards from Sheriff Street or we want more guards from Oliver Bond. You know, like, and that's the other thing why it should be put in there. Like,
or maybe they should fly the helicopters over Rat Mines and stuff, because we're all human at the end of the day and there's good and bad everywhere. You know, I was raised fantastically. I was raised with manners, respectfully, rightly enough, I swear a lot, I'm trying to work on that. But, you know, I'm highly educated woman. I've never been on the dole. You know, I've worked all my life.
Well, even if you were.
Highly educated. Yeah. And yet, people, I'm confident in myself, so their opinion doesn't matter to me. However, it affects the economy, affects equal rights for people from poorer parts. It's not all the country. Look, very successful people have really supported me, and people from, you know, genuine, educated, no more than yourself, Joe, people who aren't opinionated and take people on face value. But, you know, culturally, you know, it's just ignorant people. There's highly educated people who have really helped me along as well.
But my great distress over class is there's highly, highly, highly intelligent people in working class areas who don't get the breaks. Who don't get the I look around my class and St. John's College in Ballyferm, but I think two of us eventually went on to third level education. But there was brain surgeons in that class. There was physicists. They were a lot smarter than I ever was. Let me bring, but they didn't get the opportunities. Catherine, good afternoon. 5-1-5-1 match on. Catherine, your point, please. You're agreeing with Paul. Go ahead.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, listen, I just happened to be listening there, and I think Paul sounds like a fantastic individual, a powerful person, has an awful lot to offer society. And I think it's disgraceful what happened to him. Unfortunate to see it so blatantly happening in Ireland. Makes me ashamed to be Irish. And really, that's what I wanted to say. I think there should be consequences for that type of behaviour. And I think we can't be judged, by all means, ban barrels or lock us out if we're behaving inappropriately. But we can't be judged because of our accent or our appearance or where we come from. So, I just wanted to say done, Paul, for raising it.
But would Paul, seriously, Paul can help me here, and you, Catherine, as well. Would Paul have had a leg to stand on if he tried to take a case against this restaurant that refused him, he believes, on the basis of his social class and his accent?
I doubt if he'd get very far, but I do feel it's wrong. I think there should be a forum to raise this issue, and it should be, something, a structure there to challenge it, because it's not good enough.
Could I just say something there quick there?
Paul, yeah, of course.
Yeah, just Joe, this comes up constantly in the inner city. This happens in some shape or form. I'm quite aware that I won't get far because it's not included in the grounds, but I think at this stage and with the level of support they got as well, I think, like, as a matter of principle, I'll just take it anyway. Like, basically what will happen is it isn't the ground included in the quality legislation, therefore, even if you have proof as clear as day that you are treated unfairly, like, it won't go any further than that, so... But I think now, just with the support and for a matter of principle, I'll just take the complaint anyway.
Oh, will you? Okay. And have you, not that you have to, but have you contacted the it's a restaurant, wasn't it?
It was a pub, but COVID now, everything is half a restaurant.
Why aren't you naming the pub on the radio?
We're not stopping anyone, but as far as I know, the producer who was talking to Paul, we've to wait for a response from the establishment, in fairness.
I'm taking the complaint. Like, I'm taking the complaint as well, and I think out of fairness and all, what I would have likened them to do for me, I'm not someone who likes all this kind of like hysteria and witch hunting of a company. Do you know what? All I want is to be treated fairly, and that's it. Like, I'm not looking for them to lose business or anything. What I'd be like, look, I'm educated, I have a good job, I'm a good family man. I'm no different to anyone else. That's it. I don't want this whole thing of, like, the person being witch-hunted and their business being ruined.
That you have to explain yourself to them, you don't need to explain you're a good man and that's part of the issue. Like, you don't need to say to people who you are. The only person you need to explain to is yourself, that you are good enough. Like, you shouldn't have to say, hang on a minute, I'm all right. It's like someone going in, a tattoo, people assume, what have you, or piercings, you don't have to tell them what you are, like. That's annoying, isn't it?
Okay, I want to bring in Mary McKeown. Mary, your point, please. Joe at RT.ie. Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, I just wanted to comment on the civil service. In passing there, one of your talkers said that you can't get into Google or the civil service with an accent. Well, I just wanted to say I'm from Dublin's inner city. I was the only girl in my inner city parish to get a place in college. Trinity, I couldn't afford to go. I went into the civil service. I did interviews for the banks, the ESB, private sector. Got nowhere with any of them. Into the civil service, and I was treated on my merits, as were my siblings.
Okay.
And I, to this day, I would say the civil service is one of the best equal opportunities employers, and I would encourage anybody to go for it. I just wanted to correct it.
Is that Mary? Yeah, sorry. I think you missed some. That fair play to you going on and having a good career in the civil service. I'd agree with you fully. What I was saying there, Mary, when they do positive action measures, they're bound by the equality legislation. So say that, like, we do want to get more people, we want to encourage more people from Sheriff Street or qualify bond to join the civil service. They don't do that because they use the nine grounds to where if we did have a social class ground, you would see that as well. Like if you go on to public jobs now, you'll see we commit to equality on the nine grounds, but they don't say it on social class. Do you get me? So I agree with what you're saying. So that's what I meant.
No, they don't do it because they don't need to do it. If someone comes from the inner city and applies for the civil service, you can register with the publicjobs.ie. You can do the competitions the same as everybody else. Your accent doesn't come in.
But does it come down to qualifications, Mary? You managed to get the third level. And as you say, you're the only one in your class, in your
in my parish. I didn't get to third level. I couldn't afford to go.
Okay, I understand.
So I had to go into the civil service, and I did everything at night. 13 years of study at night.
So, Mary, if you think, right, why does the lot of like multinationals at the civil service? Why is there such non-representation of travellers or people from the inner city in them?
Well,
is it because they don't want to join it? Because I know plenty of people in my area that would love a job in the civil service or the public service.
Well, I can tell you now, when I was going, someone said to me, oh, civil service, who did you know? I said, I didn't know anyone. I filled up the forms. I applied for the job. I did the interview. You need to register. You need to go for it. If you have, now, Joe has a point about the education. I'll come back to that. Mm. But if you have the skills, I went in a clerical assistant. It's a grade that doesn't even exist anymore because it was the lowest of the low. But I worked my way up and I studied at night. I got the absolute fairest treatment. And if anything, what you had was a lot of people from the country coming into the civil service. Baz and Chubb used to talk about that. And a thick country accent didn't count against anybody either. Mm. If you came in, if you had the ability, you did the job, you got your opportunity. And that is still the case. Okay. So I think it's about a lack of knowledge and awareness and of people thinking it's not even worth trying.
But do you not think, Mary, as well, do you not think as well there's a subconscious thing going on as well? Like you said to yourself there, you had to go in from the bottom level, like, and work your way up. But to go in at a more senior level or a mid-level.
But 13 years night school, Mary.
Yep.
God, you have some willpower.
Yeah. I think a lot of civil servants did it, and there would have been people who came from the country. Look, if you go in anywhere at the bottom level, at entry level, and you can make your way
up. But if you had a third level degree, you would have gone into the civil service at a higher level.
I possibly would,
They do. I know for a fact they do. It is, and that's a meritocracy in that sense. At least getting into the civil service, I don't know what it's like when you actually get in.
It is equal opportunity.
It is a meritocracy, is it? The civil service.
It's equal, very much so. Okay. Now, I've been involved, I've moved up through all the levels. I'm now retired.
Okay.
But I've been involved in recruiting interviews.
Okay.
And it's absolutely very
transparent.
Transparent.
Okay.
And it absolutely relies on the code
that's
of
the
practice.
Civil service, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make that point, and I would encourage people from the inner city to go for it. It's a lack of awareness, and people think it's not for them.
It's not to be, but there's great schools now. I mean, I'm thinking of St. Olton's up beside where my mother lives in Ballyfair, an incredible school. It almost has five levels in that school, from preschool to primary, the second level to after school to parental courses.
Well, it's
incredible. Yes,
Paul. Could I just say a quick thing there? You touched on it there, Joe, a while ago. Like you said, out of the class you are in, only two of you went on to college, but there was plenty of people who could have been in Brian Thornton. But that's the thing. What I'm saying is there's a load of, particularly for a lot of the new multinational companies here, who have a big power, they could change a lot of people's lives overnight. A lot of how they take on people actually stops people from even getting their foot on the door. So as I was saying, how they filter out
You mentioned to me, Paul, earlier that your partner is Brazilian, speaks Portuguese, obviously.
Yeah.
Has she ever been discriminated against? Or he? I don't know which part of the he or she.
Kind of indirectly, like there's... Sometimes, like, she's gone for jobs, people have misinterpreted that she doesn't have a certain stamp and all. But she's had quite a good experience. She has got some flack off, like, people in the Brazilian community because the Brazilian community here call people from the inner city nanas, as in, like, they call them the K-word. And sometimes they say, "Oh, you know your partner. He's one of them,
call you Nana."
Yeah, it's in Portuguese for what means like the K word, knacker. The words they use. So there's some of that goes on, but then it just brushes it off. Like it's stuff Siobhan. You don't want to be saying.
Siobhan is in Cork. Siobhan.
Hello there.
Your point, please.
My point is, I'm from Cork, and I have a nice accent and a well-educated accent, but I'm from the countryside, and I'm from an area that used to be called Congo Terrace, for the reason the Congo War was on. And in school, I was sometimes mocked over that.
There was a part of Cork called Congo Terrace.
That was the nickname for the area we lived, which, again, this is now going back to when the Congo War was on. But I was very, very intelligent. I could totally agree with the speaker at the start. Hugely intelligent. Mm. I had people in school who were majorly jealous and angry, and their mothers and fathers, because I did better than them. The school was very supportive of me. Top exams, went on at one stage to the county hall.
Okay.
Permanent and pensionable clerical officer. Went on after that to do an honours degree in philosophy English. Married, became a battered wife, ended up homeless back in Cork. But I knew how to live on very little. I knew at that stage and had to work very hard to get housed. I turned up at a social welfare office and had to fight my way to get support. And I remember being told, "Aren't you sorry you left the county hall now?" You know? And that was back at the time you were told, "Get back home. If you're battered, it's none of our business."
Good
the social
God.
Services treated
stop
me the
that.
Same
yeah,
way.
Stop, stop. That's awful. That's horrific.
And I ended up representing myself Good. And my children.
Yeah, fair play to you.
Right up to the Supreme Court
A
time when violence, alcoholism, trauma, none of that was recognised. And went on much later to do masters. And to be perfectly honest, the prejudice against working class people in college, I won't name the college I was in, because that's me, I don't like to. But I met so many working class people who said the prejudice, being looked down on, being discriminated against, and people don't even know they're doing it. It's actually rife, rampant, and unrecognised because people have blinders. Now, likewise, I would say, I have four adult children now. I reared them all on my own. Yeah. My husband, a very well-off foreigner, French, living in Ireland. Two of the children are his. He never, ever, ever supported us. Never. So I had to rear them on my own, educate them through school. And the efforts, because I was back in an area that was considered, it was working class, it was.
And when you say it was called, Siobhan, come back to that little point there. Sorry, it's not. You say where you live was nicknamed Congo Terrace.
Yeah.
And that's because of the war in the Congo, and the UN were sent in, the first Irish contingent went abroad, Jadaville and all that. And Congo was a big, big, big story here in the early
60s. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And the phrase, it's an awful phrase, Baluba. Do you remember that?
I do, that was a phrase that we used, just when my youngest son came home from school in the school bus. Someone called him a Muslim there now, and my son has grown up now as well, you know?
Okay.
And my children went to a school a mile away, which was a Gaelscoil, and all did very well. But again, were bullied. Now, one in particular was bullied because she was top of the class, but living in, if you like, a ghetto, you know? Mm. Very, very bullied. And again, I was a lone parent back then when you couldn't be, but top of the class, but and also bullied by a pre-vida when I complained. So, and I have to say, personally, I have seen, people don't realise it, middle class don't realise when they are upper. I know it's the reverse as well, because I know because of my accent now, and my children who are very well educated, and one in particular works with young people in addiction and so forth. And I know sometimes people think, oh, she had a silver spoon in her mouth. Yeah. She had violence of the extreme. She saw me being almost killed. My head hopped off the ground, do you know?
Okay. And there's a lot of...
being driven over by a car, that sort of thing. And you were told, go home.
And there's a lot of assumptions, even in ads, Paul and Saoirse and Siobhan, that one, that everyone has a car, you know, drive. They say, next time you're driving to the supermarket, I think it's still the majority of people.
I think that happened a lot during the COVID, it's shown a lot on a lot of classes.
And then the other one, the most recent one is Ian Road Air and saying you have to book your tickets online. A lot of people can't get online. They don't have an iPad. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah, that's it. Like, but I think even the whole thing working from home.
Or then even come back. I'm on a roll here. I do transport for Ireland. The consultant, they're saying everyone can participate in about this new Dublin Bus Connects project by going online. Everyone can't go online. And you can be guaranteed that Dublin working class areas will not have a major say in the new Bus Connects as areas, and fair play to them, who were organised and people have access because they were lucky enough to have good educational opportunity to iPads and computers. So it's a nonsense for Transport for Ireland to say, this is fair. It's not fair. You're excluding a sick, and the same for Ian Road Air.
We've seen that with the Metro, Joe, and that like a lot of routes the Metro plan to do were deferred in a lot of middle class areas, to where look on Townsend Street there's a lot of flats that's going to get knocked down. People that have lived in them all their life. You know, and they literally got a letter telling them, you know, you're going to be out. But maybe the Metro, that maybe never will go ahead,
Okay.
Now, another point?
Yes, you can after the break. 51551, one more chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Paul McKeown was talking to us about an incident last weekend. He was going into a gastro pub or whatever, for a meal, as only you can at the moment. And there was three of them in the party, himself, his partner, she's from Brazil, and I think a third person, an in-law. And Paul says they were basically told the booking was null and void, and Paul believes it was on the basis of his accent and his demeanour, or the way he was dressed or whatever. Now, Paul, I'm just thinking, if you could prove that they turned you away on the basis of your partner, Then you'd be able to take a case because that would be racism.
So what happened, Joe? Like, as we got up to the pub, like, it was kind of like touristy outside. So they were taking pictures. So the manager, in fairness to him, never even seen them. I went in, was refused, walked back out. We stood on the corner. Yeah. A couple went up into the door, got accepted. I went back in.
That's the killer. He wasn't even seeing them. That's the sting, Paul. That's the sting. That's where you have the case, I think. Well, as you say, but where's the law to back up social discrimination? Teresa Hennessy is in Ballymun in Dublin. Your point, please, Teresa.
Hello, Joe. How are you? My first time ringing, but I listen to you every day.
Great.
And I've met you on one or two occasions with an incident, Paul.
Great. Fair play to you.
On the postal address for going for interview, my eldest daughter, she wanted to go on to third level, but I didn't have the money for her way back at that time. But I said to her, look, we got the Herald every evening and she was looking through jobs and we happened to have a local job centre. So I said to her, first of all, we went to the Department of Social Protection to see what she would be entitled to. And I remember her, she cried the whole way down the shopping centre because she did not want, and she was a very, very good student. Anyway, we went in, did up her CV, and she got a letter for an interview in IBM in Pembroke Road.
Great, yeah.
And she got the job.
On merit?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
And they, in turn, because she's very, very good at figures, and they, in turn, funded her for accountancy course. So she went from just accounts to global accounts.
Okay.
And I would argue the point that you should get your job on your merit, not your postal address.
Of course.
Okay, some places need third level education certificates or whatever. But I just feel it's totally wrong, and I feel for that chap there. I really do.
Paul, yeah. Okay.
But that was always my bone of contention, if you like. And then I went on to improve myself. I worked in the job centre for 10 years, loved it, and I moved into the private sector then. But it's not a question of it can't be done. And there definitely should not be discrimination on your postal address, and people should not feel intimidated by it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Stay there, Teresa, because Stephen is now contacted. Stephen, 51551, my chance. That's our text number. Go ahead, Stephen.
Joe, how you doing? Stephen, I wasn't planning to call you. I'm outside the school waiting for my daughter here. But however, no, okay. Joe, I don't really have a point to make as such. I just wanted to say...
Well, the story.
I basically... I'm from the Liberties originally. None of my family went to university or anything like that. They all ended up in pretty much dead-end jobs. And I did a good leaving, got into Trinity, and was kind of shocked at the kind of level of discrimination there, you know. It's very strange, but I went there kind of naively thinking university had to do universality, and you go and then you realise that you're so different from all the people there, you know. And
okay.
It really shook me so, you know this yourself.
And what was what do you feel, Stephen, about the discrimination? You feel you suffered discrimination in Trinity?
I did, Joe. I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, I remember I was in the karate club in Trinity, and you have a few drinks after training or whatever, and there was a girl in the club, and her father was a professor there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had a few drinks, getting a bit merry.
Yeah.
And she eventually kind of turned to me critically afterwards, kind of holding the crowd. She said to me, "Stephen, are you from the north side?" Right? As if this is like bandit country, man. As it turned out, I wasn't from the north side. I'm from the south side, but it's the inner city deliveries, right? That's one example. Another example is I was dating a girl from Mount Marion during my time in college, you know, and went to a wedding reception out in Dunleary.
Okay.
And I was chatting to some fellow member of the family at the bar. And he said, "I've been chatting away for a while with him. Thought I was getting on well with him." Then he eventually says, I know who you remind me of, he says. And basically, it was one of the Fury brothers.
Okay.
So what he was saying to me was, "You're a knacker." That's what he was saying. Do you know what I mean? So I came out with a degree in sociology and English from the place. And that's all fine, but sociology is kind of great to help you kind of understand patterns, you know, about how class reproduced itself and all that. But you're dead right, Joe. When you said the point on the radio about 20 minutes ago saying race is very visible, gender... But class is nothing against class discrimination. Basically, if you mention about class to someone, they'll tell you have a chip in your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's basically back in your box then, you know? But that's it, Joe. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm not writing a book about the whole thing, to be
good
honest.
Man.
But,
great.
A novel based on all of this, but...
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay, keep at it. Thanks indeed, Paul McKeown.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stephen, Siobhan and Teresa Hennessy and all our other callers. But he mentioned writing the book there, Stephen. Well, remember, our self-published book show is on next week. If you have a self-published book, especially, I suppose, a book of your own experiences or something that happened to you or a biography or a memoir or local history, please send it in to us ASAP. You won't be getting the book back, but please put your details on it and we'll endeavour to cover it next week. 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.